I'd like you to take your Bibles and we'll open up to John 15. John 15. And while you're doing that, I'd like to just pass these around. Chris, would you help me with that? Everyone have? Is there enough? I don't know if Brother Chow realized that our verse for the camp, Brother Chow, is John 7, 37 and 38. Yeah. You knew that. Well, now you do. That out of our inmost being would flow rivers of living water. And we're believing that God will do that in these days at the camp. John chapter 15. We'll start over here on my left. Brother Kenny, would you start? And then we'll just each read a verse and work our way.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman.
Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit.
You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you.
Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me.
I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me you can do nothing.
If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned.
If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you.
This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples.
As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love.
If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love.
These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full.
This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you.
Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends.
You are my friends if you do what I command you.
No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you.
You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name.
These things I command you, that you love one another.
The world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you.
If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you.
Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. They have kept my saying, they will also keep yours.
But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me.
If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin.
He who hates me hates my Father also.
if I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen his miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my father.
If he was that.
But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause.
But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me.
And you also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning.
Now anyone can be free to share what blesses you.
He gives a warning in verse 6. If we don't abide in him, he's cast out as a branch. It's withered. I cut a lot of branches this week, these 2 days outside. And there's so many wasted lives we see. Those who don't stay with the Lord. It's a shame. And that God has called us to encourage them and to keep them in the faith. How important it is. And we need to continue to abide. We need to be careful to abide.
Verse 16 says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and yet your fruit should remain." Sometimes we have that hunger and we want God to come, but we see here, we haven't chosen him, but he's chosen us. God has a plan. He's a God of love. He wants to abide in us. That was his plan in the beginning. We know that Adam and Eve walked with God in fellowship. They were without sin. They had that constant communion, but because of that disobedience, it broke that fellowship. But God had a plan. His plan was he wanted fellowship with your heart, my heart. He says, "I've chosen you and ordained that you should go and bring forth fruit." God wants there to be fruit. And to have real fruit in our lives, we've been hearing in these days about abiding, walking in his presence, and fruit that remains. Oh, hallelujah. You know, it's one thing to have fruit, but fruit that remains. When God does it, he is everlasting. When he breathed breath of life into man, he became eternal, a living soul. And you know, when God does something, when he breathes upon something, when he does it, it's everlasting. It's life. It's not just, it remains. And so God wants to do, oh, hallelujah. He wants us to believe him to come and fill us with his presence, to give us that abiding life when we walk in fellowship with him, and that it will remain. And it says here that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it you. Oh, he wants to give us himself. He wants to give us that what we have need of. And then it goes something so practical. These things I command you, that you love one another. Now, isn't that interesting? It talks about abiding and having Christ in us. And then he gives us this simple command, that we love one another. Oh, Jesus wants us to love. I had a little experience this past year. We were in a meeting, and there was a lady just standing in the back. The Lord put in my heart, you go to her and tell her that I love her. So I went, I thought, that's kind of crazy, you know, just to, you know, she's a lady that's attending our church, love the Lord. And so I went to her and I said, I just feel to say this to you, that Jesus wants you to know he loves you so much. She said, thank you so much. I was just standing here and she said, I felt so in love. And I said, Jesus, do you love me? And here the Lord wanted her to know that he loved her. You know, God wants us to be so connected with him. And I know that I lack so much, but I'm wanting him to come more. And you know how obedient he
he wants us to be. Sometimes he'll want us to do something that seems maybe kind of silly, maybe doesn't make sense. Maybe the middle of the night he'll wake you up and he'll say, pray for someone. And you'll think, why am I praying for that person? And you know, you never know what a person is going through, and they need your prayers at that time. It might be a life and death situation, but your prayer can make a difference. Oh, hallelujah for the kingdom of God. God wants there to be fruit that remains, and it comes by a life that is connected to Him, that's willing to be or not to be, to flow and let Christ live out His life within. And what's so wonderful, He can touch children, young people, and those who've been saved a long time. And it gets better. Oh my, He touched me when I was just a young person, and I'm still young. So I tell my son. And you know what? He just becomes more precious and more wonderful. I thought, oh, seek Him while you have strength. You young people, seek the Lord. I know this is for pastors here, but I just want to say to the young people, give yourself to the Lord. Seek Him. Surrender your all. God has a life and a plan.
Yes,
I remember when I sat in those seats years ago.
Yes,
I remember when I was in a situation with, you know, I didn't know what God was going to do with my life. And I often would say, I wonder what God's going to do with me. I wonder what His plan is for my life. I was seeking Him and I wanted Him. And I really had no idea what it was. But God wanted me to be content in where He had me. Just wanting Him, learning my lessons.
Mm.
You know, don't try to figure it out. Because I'll tell you a little secret, you can't.
Mm.
What your decisions you make and your obedience now has something to bring you into what God has. And you can miss what God has if you're not obeying and praying and finding Him right where you're at. And so that's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation.
Yeah.
He doesn't tell you about what's going to happen tomorrow or yesterday, but we're to live for today. Because that, it determines how you fulfill in God's will and plan. And I just want to say, I've still got some years left. I believe I'm still young.
Yes, you
but you know what I want to say as I look back at my life, how God has led. And I thought, I would not have ever dreamed what God did for me. Never dreamed I would be married, and God gave me a son, and then He put us in a church, and how God just began to open doors and just had a plan over our lives. And I look back, and now I'm so humbled what He's doing in our church.
Amen.
We sought Him, we sought Him. And we had a small church for many years. And I said, Lord, for Your kingdom's sake, I would like to see the young people see God come forth. What we saw, what we had the privilege to have. Lord, You've got to do it for our young people. And I saw it, Lord, if they don't see it, how is it going to go on, the fruit and what You have? And you know, when we pray, we started a prayer meeting. Every morning, started at 7, we go to 9:30 every morning, 5 days a week, and we start praying. It was just the three of us. And then there was one other lady in the church that started with us. She's an older lady, and she had a British accent. I can remember her, oh Lord, and she'd call on the Lord to come. And we'd pray, and we'd pray, and it didn't seem like anything was happening, but we kept at it. And all of a sudden, some things started happening. I thought, oh God, You're hearing our prayers. You know, sometimes you think those prayers are not going through, but God wants us to be persistent, to keep at it. And then there began to be a breakthrough. And God did something. One morning we just felt the Lord open the heavens, and He said to us He was going to send in people. And we had 12 families come in at one time. And then things just started happening. God started healing people. God started saving people. And didn't mean that we didn't have trials. Oh, we have them. But we found that we just come to Him. And even today, you know, I was having to work out some things. I had the situation. I was trying to work it out. This wasn't working. And the Lord just said to me, take faith over it. You have to believe Me. I said, okay, Lord. I was over there in the cushion. I said, Lord, I just claim your intervention over this situation. Lord, you work it all out. It wasn't anything life and death, but it's just something that had couldn't get the connection with this person to have to take care of this and that. But you know, prayed, and guess what happened? Everything started falling in place. And the Lord just says, stay connected. Keep putting things in my hands. Take faith over things. Believe me to do it. You know, you don't have to be a minister to do that. You just have to be a lover of Jesus. And he wants us to learn to ask. I'll just say one other little thing. This is when the economy was so bad and people just couldn't get jobs and the finances were hard for people in the church. And the Lord put in our hearts to pray that the Lord would bless our people financially and that it would be a testimony in this bad economy that God provides financially, spiritually, to bring people into the church. And so we started praying that way, and the Lord really gave us those prayers. And we just had these unusual things start happening. We had business people say they made better money in the bad economy than they did in the good economy. And then we had people start getting raises. One fellow worked for the government. He said, I don't understand this. He said, they gave me $10,000, and I don't even know what it was for. They just said that I had this coming to me. And things like that. And young people would start getting raises for no reason. And God just started. We had one fella in the church. He came to the prayer meeting, and the Lord just, I didn't know who he was or anything. The Lord's put in my heart, God's going to bless you. I saw God take his hand and hand that man a blessing. I said, I don't know you, but I said, God tells me he's going to bless you because I
give you a big financial blessing.
And this man, and the Lord said this to my heart. He says, because I can trust him, he's a giver. I didn't know him from Adam. And Pastor Mike said, you better watch out what you say. If you say something's not the right, you're in trouble. But the Lord just kept putting it on my heart to say that to that brother. So I went to him and humbly, and I said it to him. And that afternoon, he calls Pastor Mike, and he said, I got this huge job, he said, and I'm making $800,000. Oh, Lord. And then, let me say this to you. We, because of our church being so small and our situation through the years, we had some debt in our own personal life. And I saw God doing a miss for all kinds of people and everything. And finally, I woke up, and I said, you know what? I think I need to ask God to get me out of debt. And so I did. I said, Lord, I'm believing you to get us out of debt. And guess what happened? We're out of debt. God started giving us miracles. I thought, why was I so slow? And you know what? Maybe you have a need in your life, and you just kind of bump along. But you know, the Lord just started saying to us, ask largely. I want to come to you spiritually. I want to help you in your everyday life. I want to save your children. I want to heal people. I want to deliver and set people free that have been bound by drugs and alcohol. We've had people come into our church like that. It was all new to me. I was brought up in a Christian home. So you have these people that lie and they, oh boy, it was all a new experience for me. But you know what? God began to change these people. Hallelujah. And God changed their lives and set them free. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus knows how to meet every need. And he wants there to be much fruit in every one of us, in our churches, in our homes, in our walk, our everyday walk. And I just want to say how wonderful Jesus is. And I just want to say how wonderful it is to be here and to see the young people where we used to be when we were that age. Now we're a little older, all of us, so, and it's wonderful. I'm having faith that what God did for me, he'll do for each one of you, and that God will keep us, older ones, on the way, hungering and thirsting. And you young people, I want to say something to you. Your hunger and your desire helps us. It makes us say, come on, we got to stay young. We got to stay in there. We got to keep marching forward because we want to have faith that we all, oh, hallelujah, see him face to face one day. Yes. How wonderful he is. He's so glorious. It's worth it all to serve Jesus and to follow him and to love him and let him guide your life. Don't be so taken up with the cares of this life and lose out for God's perfect best plan. Put him first, and those times of activity and other things in life will be better if Jesus is first in your life. Amen.
It pays to serve Jesus, it pays every day, it pays every step of the way. Oh, that way to glory may sometimes be drear, you'll be happy each step of the way.
In verse 8, it says, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. You know, I don't know about you, but many times it's easy for me to pray for people. Very, not very hard. But when I have to pray for myself, all of a sudden, I remember all my failures and my faults. And then that's the enemy, of course. He's the accuser of the brethren.
That's right.
It's easy to pray for someone that you don't know, but when you pray for yourself, but yet the Lord says something, this is to my Father's glory. When you and I ask things of God, and God does like what did for Sister Donna, it's not for Sister Donna or Pastor Mike, it's for him, it's for his glory.
Amen.
When he saves someone, when he heals someone, when he does the miracle, it's not for us, it's not about you, it's about him.
Yeah.
And how important it is for us to recognize that when we come before the throne of grace, that we come expecting and believing God to do great and mighty things, because it's for his praise, to his glory, that he's doing it. And we are to bear, I like that, much fruit. Much fruit. God wants to use us to bring others to the kingdom of God. God wants to touch you and to do things in your life. Now, as I said, I was born and raised, based, grew up in Ridgewood. And if you would go back to my early days and you would say, well, Richard Fogle, you know, what will happen to him? Well, people might just laugh and say, well, I used to stutter as a kid and so forth and so on. The most unlikely person that would ever be around. You know, that would be, and then you say, well, what happened to my life? How God called me into the ministry and how God used me. And that's to the praise of his glory. You say, Fogle, you got to be kidding. And, you know, it's impossible. It is in the natural, but not in the supernatural. And you see, that's the thing. God has a supernatural life for you when you serve him and you give him. And that's it. It's to the Father's glory. And when we do those things and we give ourselves to him, he gives us much fruit. Oh, I'm not saying it's easy, as Sister Donna said, it's not easy. But when you see the results and you see people's lives change and you see people brought into the kingdom of God and miraculously saved and healed and set free, it's exciting to see that. And it brings glory to him. Don't be afraid to ask God great and mighty things. Don't be afraid to ask God for, you know, we can ask him for a headache or for something, but when it's cancer or something else, then right away we get scared. We back away. But wait a minute. The bigger the situation, the greater the glory will come to God. And we ought to come forth with that, with that type of faith. Oh God, this is for you. This is for the praise and glory of your name. I'm not going to be timid. I'm not going to shy away. But I'm going to ask for great and mighty things. I'm going to ask you to use my life. I'm going to ask you to use my abilities for the furthering of your kingdom. And Lord, I'm going to believe you for much fruit.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
I think usually in the Bible when I read about being a servant, I think that's a good thing. I read that Paul is a bond servant or servant of Jesus Christ, and this one's a servant of Jesus Christ. And I guess the aspiration is, Lord, help me to be a good servant. And now I read John 15, and it changes my mind. Now, I'm not debunking what it says in the epistles. But Jesus says here, I don't call you anymore any longer servants. I'm not calling you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's will. And I thought about that. A servant doesn't. I think there are a lot of servants, even in the kingdom of God. There are a lot of people that are serving the Lord. They don't really know what God's will is, but they're serving the Lord as best as they can tell God what they should be doing, and God has to fall into line. I think there's a better way. I think that's what Jesus is trying to get across to his disciples here in John 15. There's a better way. I don't want to call you servants anymore. I want to call you friends. because friends, they know what their master wants from them. And I'll tell my friends all the things that they need to know. All the things that my father has told me, I'm going to tell those kind of things to my friends. You think of all the things that the father told the son, and all the things that the son wants to tell us. And how does he do that, though? That's what I was saying. How does he do that? I think we've been hearing about it the last couple of days as to how he does it. He does it by the Spirit. We read, and Paul says, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, it hasn't entered into the heart of man. The things that God has prepared for those that love him, you don't get it, I don't get it. We might think we do, and we might think we know, because we're servants, and so we're going to serve. But it hasn't entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. But he has revealed those things to us, his friends, by his Spirit. And I think that's the difference between servants, in this context at least, in John 15. And it's a vast difference between being a servant and being a friend. And he calls us, I believe he does, in these days where he has poured out his Spirit, to be friends. I mean, imagine, a friend of God. I know Abraham was one back in the Old Testament, but that was unique and different. But I can be a friend of God. Now, I'm happy to be a servant. I mean, that's great. It's wonderful. Thank you, Lord, that I can serve you and I can be a servant of yours. But, Lord, can you fill me with your Spirit? Can you talk to me like you'd like to talk to me so that I really know what your heart is and know what your will is? And then I wouldn't just be a servant trying to serve. I'd be a friend knowing what your will is and doing it. And that's, then the rest of it falls into place. That's where you bear forth fruit. That's where you bring fruit. The fruit that glorifies him, the fruit that lasts, the fruit that remains. It's as we develop that friendship with him and hear him. And if you love me, you keep my commands. So when you hear me, you obey me. As a servant would, but not only as a servant, but as a friend, because now I have your ear and I can speak to you. And he speaks to us by his Spirit. Oh, Lord, give us ears to hear what the Spirit says to his church.
I think verse 12 is very challenging, at least it is to me, probably to you as well. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you.
In the next chapter, we didn't read. But Jesus says, many things I'd like to say to you, but you're not able to bear them now. Father Ernie spoke about, as friends, God wants to share things with us. And he says, but you're not able to receive the things I want to share with you yet. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll guide you into truth. And he'll bring you into that place where you can receive what I have to say to you. I've mentioned this before, this past year, you know, God deals with us about things and makes things real to us. And I remember going to prayer, and the thought just came to me, Lord, if you could say anything you want to me, what would you say? Now, that seems strange, but I think the Lord was trying to help me to understand that there's a lot of things he'd like to say to me, but I'm not always in a place to receive it. Sometimes there's resistance in me. Sometimes I justify myself. Sometimes I don't want to be corrected. I don't really want to know the truth. I know that's the way it is with people. There are some people I'd like to help and I'd like to say some things to them, but I know they won't receive it. I know they'll get mad at me if I said what I really wanted to say to them in love. I know that they would be offended. I know some people would condemn themselves. They take it the wrong way. I think we've all experienced that. You speak to people, you mean well, and they take it the wrong way, and it doesn't go as you intended for it to go. And what was wrong? Was it what you said? Was that wrong? Or was there something wrong on the inside, where they wouldn't receive it. And I believe that that's one thing that the Holy Spirit does for us. Not only does he guide us into truth, but he has to take the resistance out of us. He has to give us a love for the truth. He has to make us teachable. I noticed that when we sang, Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. How many times it said, teach me, teach me, teach me. And sometimes there's resistance, and sometimes there's defense mechanisms, and all these things in us that we're not even aware of. And so, whenever I pray, Lord, speak to me, I pray, Lord, and help me to listen. Make me teachable. Help me to take what you want to say to me, Lord. If there's any resistance in me, break it down, Lord. If I'm not teachable, make me teachable. If I don't really want to know the truth, make me to love the truth and really want to hear what it is that you need to say. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Many things I want to say to you, but you're not able to bear it. But when the Holy Spirit comes, then I'll be able to say and reveal to you the things that you need to hear and see. Praise God. I wonder what you want to say to me. You know, I've had people say, oh boy, you've gained weight. Thank you. like I didn't know. You know, my first reaction, oh boy. There's a resistance to that. But you know, there's some things that I need to hear. Many things I need to hear. And so, Lord, if you could say anything to me that you want to say, Lord, what would you say? And then, Lord, help me to hear it and to receive it, and then put into my heart the response that you're looking for, the obedience, the submission, whatever it may be. And so I think that's an important work of the Holy Spirit. Not only does he reveal truth to us, but he brings us into the place to receive it. And so we can pray that, Lord, while I'm here at camp, and oh God, just every day, just work in my heart. Make me teachable, make me humble. Lord, make me meek to receive the engrafted word that it might profit my soul, as we heard, bring glory to you.
That little white paper I gave you, I believe, is something the Lord would like to remind us of tonight. And it, I think it finds its place in John 15. And so I'll just read it to you. You can follow along. This woman, Sister Judd, was from the Zion Faith Homes. You try to pray through so many things that are already purchased for you, when all you really have to do is reach forth your hand and take them. Won't you be larger? I plan that you should have a greater vision, that you should be larger. But there are other things I wish to do, preparing your souls for greater things, giving you a mightier grasp of the things of myself, my death and resurrection, and my unremitting intercession. Oh, you would cry out day and night to know me if you realize the things that are in store for those that get a larger vision of me. And the great power of all your lives ought to be that you know me and the power of my resurrection, that you might be filled with my fullness. You say, I've heard that before. Yes, you have heard it before. But you have not taken it into your soul in such a way as to call out in a great way for me. I want you to call out, to cry to me, or to cry to know me, that I may set you into a larger place of obedience and manifest myself to you. And you will say, we knew nothing, how little we were. Oh, we didn't pray as we should have. We didn't seek anything like we ought to have sought. We might have had this glory much sooner. Won't you, beginning today, whether other members of your family or even your ministers do so or not, go on to seek God in this great, wholehearted, single-eyed way. Won't you do it? So that I may have one to whom I may reveal myself, one to whom I can give the keys to the mysteries of the wonderful things that are in store, one to whom I may reveal myself as a friend. And if you would become my friend, whether your ministers do so or not, I would reveal great things to you. I would take you into heavenly places to abide. You would not be at all of the world. You would know the effectiveness and the power of the abiding life, the highest type of branch life. Nothing else is worth your while but knowing me and being filled with myself, knowing the Godhead better. Oh, will you, individually, no matter what others do, no matter what your ministers do, will you become my friend? I long for your friendship. I want to communicate myself to you. That is my divine nature. I will do that when I have obedience, and you will render obedience if you call out in that great way that I have spoken of, and you will have the powers of obedience set into you. Will you be my friend? My dad was one who, if I had to say what would be a theme of his message. Now, he had many different messages for us, but the one that seemed to come so readily to his heart and from his mouth was the message of abiding. Over our platform at church, we have that motto: I am the vine, abide in me. And I saw how Dad not only could speak of abiding in the vine, but I saw how he lived in the vine. One of his favorite sayings or things he would say was that God works without intermission. He's working all the time. If you're a branch in the vine, God is pouring his sap into you. And I don't know if I wanted sap, but he's pouring his life into you without intermission. If you're a branch abiding in the vine, the life of God is flowing into your life. You see, that's what brings forth the fruit. You know, I've often thought, what is the fruit? Some people say it's the fruit of the Spirit, and I'm sure that's right. And others may say it's the things that we do for Christ, and as we've heard, those things. And I'm sure that's right as well. And I just try to sum it up this way. It's whatever the Holy Spirit is able to produce through my life. I mean, that's the natural consequence of abiding. The branch abiding in the vine produces fruit. That's just the way it is. And if your life and my life is truly a life of abiding, then there will be fruit to the glory of God, fruit that will remain, and it will be what he does. Without me, you can do nothing. Now, that's something that's in our counselor's guide. Did you know that, Chris? I say yes. Right at the first page there, it says that. Without me, you can do nothing, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so we're reminded again, Jesus is calling us. I want you to be my friend. I want you to live in unbroken fellowship with me. I want you to walk with me day by day, moment by moment. I want to reveal myself to you. I want you to be my friend. And how do we respond to that? It's so pointed. It's there. God says, I want you to be my friend. How do I respond? What is my response to him tonight? It just interests me that three times in that little word there, it says, even if your ministers don't do it. I say, what's wrong with the ministers? Why don't they get it? Why don't the ministers get it? Are we in the way? Lord, help us to get out of the way, that it may be Christ. Christ, only Christ. Be honored, loved, exalted. Christ, only Christ. Be seen, be known, be heard. Christ, only Christ. In every look and action, Christ, only Christ. In every thought and word, oh, to be saved from myself, dear Lord. Oh, to be lost in thee. Oh, that it might be no more I, but Christ that lives in me. And truly, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, then we will exalt Christ. Others will see Christ in us. So what about you? What about me? Jesus says, will you be my friend? Oh, Jesus, yes, Lord. We will walk in obedience to your commands. Yes, Lord, we will obey your voice. Yes, Lord, we will do what you say.
Writing, Sister Judd speaks of a greater vision, the largeness of the Lord, the fullness of the Lord. I know that the Spirit of God wants to say again to our hearts that there is so much that He wants to pour into us, so much life, so much grace. here again, she says, and if you would become my friend, and there are several times in this passage, the Lord speaks, that he speaks, if a man remains in me, if you remain in me, if you obey. These are the ifs of faith and obedience. Over 100 times in the Word of God, there are these if passages. And the Lord is speaking to our hearts and saying in so many ways, in so many scriptures, and here so plainly through this sister, that there is such an abundance that the Lord has, so much life that's flowing. And I'm just struck with the foundational truth of what is here, that faith is laying hold of this, obedience and trust and a willingness, a desire is laying hold of this. I'm reminded, again, it's so foundational, that in Genesis, we see it in chapter 2, and we see it in a certain light and maybe limited, but the Lord said it's not good that the man should be alone, and of course the immediate context speaks of marriage there. But when we see that what God says, I'm going to make a helpmeet for you, when we understand that that marriage and the beauty of what that was to be before sin would come into the picture, the greatest purpose for marriage really is a reflection of a constant reminder of our marriage with God, and then a helper suitable all the other times that that word is used in the Old Testament, it's used for God. That God would be the one, he's the one. And there's a relationship that he was calling man to and saying, and there was a warning with that, because we see what happens so quickly in chapter 3, that the enemy knows the power of disconnecting us, of interrupting. The spirit works without interruption, but how the flesh and the enemy would try to interrupt and disconnect and cut off that flow. But there's a cry to our heart, if you would choose me, if you would obey me, if your heart would desire after me, there's so much more. There's such fullness, such largeness in this relationship with him. And we say, Father, we want this. Jesus, we hunger for you. Father, we want to connect. We want to drink in this life from you. Thank you.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.